I have a question for each of you listening today to this broadcast, especially pastors and leaders. Is the Spirit saying forward, or is the Spirit saying retreat?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey friends, Michael Brown here. Thank you for joining us on this Wednesday as we focus on the world, on moral and cultural issues. I believe today's broadcast is going to stir your heart. The quotes you will hear, the scriptures we'll look at, and some of the perspective I want to bring you, I believe you will find very, very helpful, and it'll help ignite a greater fire, courage, determination, strength in your own life. Can I ask you to take a moment to pray for me today? I'm not taking calls because as you are listening to this broadcast, I am en route to a country I will not disclose yet. As soon as the event is over, I hope to post on social media or as it's taking place tomorrow, Thursday, on Facebook, Twitter. So if you're not connected with me there, go to my website, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org. And just click on the Facebook icon, the Twitter icon to connect, the email icon so that you will hear from us via eBlast as well. But what is scheduled is very large and very important. And if all goes according to plan, it should be tomorrow one of the most important ministry days of my life. One that literally has the potential of making a national impact. I say this without any hype. I'm not telling you what country it is at the moment because of the sensitivity of the issues we're dealing with. But please pray for wisdom, anointing, traveling safety, and for all to go according to God's plan. Would you do that? I really appreciate it. So traveling today, speaking tomorrow, and then scheduled to take the red eye back, fly back through the night, Thursday night, Friday, our anniversary. Nancy and I will be celebrating 38 years of marriage, but it'll be a sober celebration because we will be down in Pensacola, God willing, to be there for the memorial service for Evangelist Steve Hill, who is enjoying the presence of God, as many of us shed more than a few tears at the loss that we experience in his absence now. And then Sunday, 59 years old. Yeah, can you believe it? Birthday number 59. But thank you for praying and standing with us, especially in these next couple of days. I wrote an article. The article was posted yesterday. You can read it by going to askdrbrown.org, clicking on latest article. It's called The Spirit is Saying Forward. The Spirit is Saying Forward. I want to tackle some very sensitive issues today. But as I do, I think the light is going to go on. I think clarity is going to come. And I want to read to you a quote from Catherine Booth, all right? Catherine Booth, co-founder of the Salvation Army, said this. She said, "Opposition, it is a bad sign for the Christianity of this day, late 1800s, that it provokes so little opposition. If there were no other evidence of it being wrong, I should know from that. When the church and the world can jog together comfortably, you may be sure there is something wrong. The world has not altered. Its spirit is exactly the same as it ever was. And if Christians were equally faithful and devoted to the Lord and separated from the world, living so that their lives were a reproof to all ungodliness, the world would hate them as much as it ever did. It is the church that is altered, not the world." I posted that on my Facebook page a couple days ago. And as I posted it, I began to think, yeah, on the one hand, it's more relevant now than when she first preached it in her message, Aggressive Christianity. It's more relevant now because the world and the Church of America get along better than ever. But in certain ways, there is opposition, and it comes at key points. I want to look at the scriptures and think some issues through with you today on The Line of Fire. It may literally be life-changing, the things that we talk about. So we'll be right back. Is the Spirit saying forward or retreat?
Give us
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast. As you are listening to this, I should be en route overseas for a very special mission, one day only, tomorrow, and I hope to report via social media on tomorrow, Thursday, and then through radio on Friday and more fully on Monday. So stay tuned. But in the meantime, just pray. God be with Mike. just pray that I will be absorbed in him and his purposes, and that everything in terms of all the setup, everything that's supposed to happen, will go smoothly. As I share more in the days to come, you'll understand why I'm not telling you more up front. So I can't take calls. We don't have the technology for me to be 35,000 feet up in the air and taking your calls at the same time, but look forward to taking them in the next few days. All right. And with that, I was about to give out the phone number. Can you believe it? All right. So I shared a quote from Catherine Booth, co-founder of the Salvation Army with her husband, William Booth. She was actually the more fiery preacher of the two. Someone just sent me a quote from Catherine Booth, somewhere around 1890. She said, "Burning words. That's what I'm looking for. I travel all around and hear oratory. I hear clever preaching, but what I'm searching for is something that will burn my heart like the man on the road to Emmaus." Oh, yeah, and she had burning words. And she and her husband, William Booth, and their family, they lived the gospel out in a burning, living way. Now, this was her point, that when the church and the world can jog along together comfortably, she said, you may be sure there is something wrong. She said, it's a bad sign for the Christianity of this day that it provokes so little opposition. Now, it's one thing to be obnoxious. It's one thing to be self-righteous, mean-spirited, non-caring. It's one thing to just be obnoxious. It's another thing to be persecuted for the gospel. Let's make that distinction. There is opposition to Fred Phelps and Westboro Baptist Church and their God Hates Fags campaign. And there should be opposition to it because that's a reproach and has nothing to do with the gospel of Jesus as they present their God Hates Fags, God Hates America, God Hates country after country, when they rejoice when American soldiers are flown home in body bags from Iraq or Afghanistan and they celebrate, rejoice. That's sick. And that should draw opposition. It's another thing when we stand for Jesus, when we're following Jesus, when we're standing up for what's right, when we're preaching the gospel, when we're calling people to repent, when we're living holy lives, and the lives we're living and the words we're speaking are opposed because it is bringing light into darkness, because we are standing for righteousness and the world is living in sin. When you're sound asleep, maybe you're staying at a house with a few rooms and some of us know you're in there and they flip the light in the middle and like, what was that? Well, you don't appreciate that. You don't appreciate that because you're asleep in the dark and when the lights turn on, it is disturbing. When people are going to steal and rob, they'll often do it at night and under cover of darkness so that no one can see their evil deeds. So light exposes darkness, and that's one reason Jesus was hated. That's one reason Jesus was persecuted. That's one reason Jesus was killed. Of course, it was the plan and will of God, but I'm talking about a human response against him. And Jesus said, if the world hates you, remember, it hated me first. He said, if you were of the world, then the world would love you as its own. But because I've taken you out of the world, you're not of the world, therefore the world will hate you. Well, if the world doesn't hate us, I don't mean every single sinful person, every single worldly person, every single unsaved person, but if the world doesn't hate us, then we have to question, are we really like Jesus? Because if Jesus was here, although crowds would come to him for healing and he'd be loved by many, he would ultimately be hated and rejected. He'd be hated and rejected by the religious establishment. He'd be hated and rejected by the worldly establishment. There was a pastor in Colombia who was shot 5 times and miraculously survived, and the bullets did not touch any vital organs. Miraculously survived. Why was he shot 5 times? Well, his church had grown to so many tens of thousands, and drug dealers were getting saved, and prostitutes were getting saved, and even drug lords were getting saved, that he was considered a threat. So they tried to kill him. Of course, this is going to happen. if you are in the Muslim world and Muslims start getting saved, your life is in danger if they're getting saved through you. I ministered with a man in India who had led so many Hindus to the Lord that he was considered a threat in the village, and he was severely beaten into a coma. He was 6 days in a coma. Someone overheard in the hospital that the doctor that was treating him was part of a militant Hindu party and was actually going to kill him in the hospital, the doctor. So this family had to get him out of there in a coma, and he miraculously survived. And the first man that beat him, he ended up getting saved, and this pastor baptized him. And he has gone back subsequently with his life being threatened. Well, you understand. The gospel's making a difference. It's a threat. So if the world doesn't hate us, something's wrong. Let me repeat. If we're hated because we're obnoxious, if we're hated because we're self-righteous, if we're hated because we're mean-spirited, if we're hated because we don't care about other people, if we're hated just because of our religious displays, then we deserve it. And we're doing more harm than good. We're bringing reproach to the name of Jesus. And in many cases in America, here, when Rob Bell writes his Love Wins book, it's a big media celebration. Yes, he's a best-selling author and was very influential in many circles, but when his book comes out denying and questioning hell, you better believe the media wants to talk about it. Wow, well, a new book, and okay, you're saying ultimately everybody gets in after time of purging and whatever. Okay, if somebody writes a new book on the reality of hell, you think there's going to be celebrated by the world? Oh, we want to do interviews on this. Of course not. So, I was thinking about this quote. I first cited it in my book, How Saved Are We, in 1990. I've cited it many times since. But it was actually last week when I posted the quote on my Facebook page, something hit me. Now look, on the one hand, what Catherine Booth said is more relevant today in America than when she spoke the words in England in the 1800s. In many ways, the contemporary church of America and the world, to use her words, do jog along together comfortably. And this is what I wrote in 1993 in the end of the American Gospel Enterprise. And I'm going somewhere with this, so stay with me. There is a major point I'm getting to, and hopefully it'll be one of those aha moments when I do. I wrote this back in 1993 in the end of the American Gospel Enterprise, actually 89, and then revised version 1993. Like Sardis, we have become the perfect model of inoffensive Christianity, in the words of G.B. Caird. What a description of the American church, the perfect model of inoffensive Christianity, having a reputation of being alive, yet being dead, Revelation 3:1. Like Sardis, we have so come to terms with our pagan environment that we provoke almost no opposition and make virtually no impact. And like Sardis, situated high on a mountain rock, we have felt safe and secure in this world. So all that was written back in 1993. Just think of how much more compromised and inoffensive we have become since then. I want you to think about this with me for a moment. Aren't there some areas where we are being opposed? Aren't there some areas in America where followers of Jesus are not being opposed because they are mean-spirited, or angry, or gossipers, or thieves, or meddlers, or immoral, or caught up in some kind of financial scandal, or something else? Aren't there areas where we are being opposed and where we are hated? What does that tell you about the importance of what we're doing in those areas? You ever been to a dentist? You know, sometimes with a toothache, or so you can't quite tell which tooth it is. And the dentist will take his little tool there and tap. Does that hurt? No. Does that hurt? No. Does that hurt? No. Ah! Okay, let's do an x-ray and see what we're dealing with there. Well, that's how it is here. There are some areas where the Church of America, yes, a remnant of the church, is meeting with fierce opposition. Yes, they are meeting with fierce opposition. And that tells me we hit a nerve. And sadly, it's those very areas where many pastors and leaders are telling us, retreat, move away from them. They are too controversial. All right, I'm going to talk about what those areas are when we come back. We need your help. It's time for some of you to stand with me and become a torchbearer a monthly supporter. Put aside a dollar a day, $30 a month. Become a torchbearer. Stand with us on a monthly basis. Here's what I want to do. I want to send you as a free thank you gift my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America. As my thank you gift for becoming a torchbearer, every month you'll get a new audio message from us. You'll get a new prayer update letter. You will get free access to all of our online classes. And you will also get a 15% discount in our online bookstore. But today is the day to stand with us. Let's make a difference together. Call 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. Or go to my website, askdrbrown.org. Just click on donate. Become a torchbearer. Together, friends, we really are making a great difference. God of light,
hear our cry. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to The Line of Fire. Thank you for joining us on this Wednesday as we focus on the world, moral, and cultural issues. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. Not taking your calls. I am en route as you listen. God willing, I should be en route to a foreign country for one important day of ministry tomorrow. Just please pray for God to move mightily and work mightily. The impact could be massive. I'm not exaggerating. I'll do my best to report via social media tomorrow and then an update, at least a partial update on Friday and a full update on Monday. So stay tuned for more, but please be in prayer. You are pray, and as you go to God on my behalf and behalf of the work that we are doing. But trust me, it's such a major open door that I can't talk about it in advance because of the sensitivity of the issues. So here's the premise I've been building on in the broadcast today. And you can read this in my article, The Spirit is Saying Forward. It is the latest article listed on my website. Here's the premise. If we are living in compromise, if we are just like the world, if we are not setting a different example by the quality of our lives, if we are not shining light into dark places, if we are sinning like the world and not warning the world about God as a judge or speaking against the consequences of sin, the world will love us. Again, Jesus says in John 15 that if we were not of the world, then the world would hate us, just like it hated him. But if we're of the world would love us. Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 3:12 that everyone who lives a godly life in Messiah Jesus will suffer persecution. Doesn't mean persecution all the time with everyone, but we will be hated. We will be rejected. I am terribly grieved over anything I've ever said or done that brought reproach to the name of the Lord because of lack of wisdom, because of immaturity, because of foolishness, because of lack of control of my tongue. Whatever it is, in the 42 years of following the Lord, there have been things I regret that I've said. There are things that caused harm. And if I ever think of it, it still stings me. Of course, I'm forgiven, but it still stings me. On the other hand, and it stings Nancy in terms of those are not things she's happy with either. On the other hand, if I am being mocked on the internet by 10,000 people at a time, if I'm being spoken against on radio or TV, if there are churches launching campaigns against me, if counter-missionary rabbis are opposing me, just whatever it is, righteousness, so be it. I feel bad for the people that are on the other side, but it's for the gospel, so be it. If there's physical attack, if it's for the gospel, so be it. That's an honor. And if I am being hated and maligned for the sake of the gospel, Nancy's right there with me. So be it. Let it be. So I want to say again that the issue is not trying to find persecution or stir up persecution or get people mad at us. I am always seeking to be a peacemaker. When I sit with people that don't know the Lord, when I sit with people who oppose me, many times I do that very thing. People who oppose me or upset with me, I sit down and say, right, tell me why you're upset with me. There was a brother who once, let's just say he was not on my best friend list. There were many things he did that I felt were hostile to me and negative and destructive. And when we finally had the opportunity to sit down face to face, I said to him, how have I failed you in our relationship? That's where I started. And he immediately wanted to then reach out with grace to me, and we became friends. So as much as I can be a confronter, as much as I can be a debater, as much as I tackle controversies, I'm constantly seeking to build bridges. I'm constantly seeking to reach out in love. I'm constantly seeking to turn away anger with a soft word, while at the same time understanding that I will be rejected and hated for the gospel, so be it. So here's my point. The Church of America is in such a compromised worldly position. The Church of America, in so many ways, is guilty of living just like the world. The Church of America, in so many ways, does not bring the fear of God, the presence of God, the conviction of God, the light of God, the standard of God, the reality of judgment of God, the consciousness of God to the world, then of course the world won't hate the church. Come on, who does the media celebrate? The churches that stand up for all of the attacks on Scripture and mock the authority of the Bible, and this is not for today. That's who the media loves. That's who the world loves. But where is it where we have hit a nerve? Where is it that there's hostility towards us and anger? Where are the key places? Well, abortion and homosexuality. Our stand for life, if you've ever been involved in pro-life work, if you've ever stood in front of an abortion clinic and shared the gospel and reached out to the moms and dads and offered them a better way, you've been met with hatred, you've been met with anger, perhaps you've been met with profanity, with being spat on, and even violent attack. Why? Because we hit a nerve there. What does it tell you? Jesus says in Matthew 5, blessed, truly happy are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. That's persecution. That's opposition for the sake of righteousness. Do you get what I'm saying? Homosexuality. Where is the anger, the vilification? No matter how pleasant you are, no matter how gracious you are, no matter how kind-hearted you are, when you say that God does not bless the relationship of two men or two women, when you say that homosexual practice is contrary to God's word, when you say these things, no matter how gentle and caring you are for people involved, you will be hated and rejected. And the thing that boggles my mind is these are the areas where Christian leaders are telling us we need to retreat. We need to retreat. Look, after all, this is driving people away from the gospel, and it's getting too politicized and so on and so forth. I understand the sentiments in terms of we want to do whatever we can to win people to the Lord and make disciples. But friends, this is where we're hitting a nerve. This is where we're hitting opposition. This is where the enemy of our souls is getting stirred up. This is where we need to hold our ground. All right. Lot more to share with you. Again, I am candidly, freely, openly, without shame, saying we do need your help, and we're asking you to stand with us together. We are listener supported. We are articulating the cry and the burden of your heart as a voice on radio and writing and preaching and teaching around the world and across America. So stand with us. Put aside a dollar a day. Can you do that? Some of you can put aside $10 a day and wouldn't even feel it. Some, it's a sacrifice of faith to put aside a dollar a day. But $30 a month, become a torchbearer. I want to send you as my thank you gift, my 700-page volume, A Queer Thing Happened to America, beautiful hardcover. You will find it to be an absolute eye-opener. And if you already have a copy, you can give this copy away. And we so want you with many, many other perks every month, benefits to you. So call now, 1-800-278-9978. Let our folks know I want to be a torchbearer today. 1-800-278-9978. Go to our website, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast. Michael Brown, so blessed to have this time with you. Friends, I never take for granted that you could be doing something else other than listening to this broadcast. And I'm here to serve you and minister to you. And I want every show to count. I want every day to count. The goal is to build you up, to strengthen you, to help give you courage, to help equip you, to help ignite a deeper fire and passion in your heart for the Lord, to help separate truth from error, and to help stand with you so together we can make a difference in this generation, one that will last until Jesus returns, a change that will last through the generations until Jesus returns. If you're just tuning in, can't take calls today. As you're listening, I should be en route to a foreign country for one day of ministry tomorrow. Can't give you more details now. You'll understand why afterwards, but please pray. It could be one of the most significant ministry days of my life, and it's a tremendous honor to be in the front lines for the Lord. We're talking about the fact that the very areas where it's clear from the reaction of the world, the hatred, the hostility, the anger, that we are touching a sensitive spot. We are hitting a nerve. It's clear. And yet, because of the controversy, because of the anger, because of the way people react, many pastors and leaders think, well, we need to step back from these areas. It's stirring up too much controversy. It's hurting us from our gospel presentation. We're unable to reach the people we want to reach because there's so much hostility. Now, I'm sympathetic to that sentiment as much as I reject it. In other words, when we're being used to say, It is for his sake that we're being persecuted just as the prophets were. Why were the prophets persecuted? Because they told the nation of Israel, God loves you and has wonderful plans for your future. Is that where they were persecuted? Were the prophets persecuted because they were the prophets persecuted because they told the kings what wonderful men they were? And told the priests what great servants of God they were? No, they were persecuted because they rebuked idolatry and injustice and immorality. They were persecuted because they exposed sin and will be persecuted the same as we are. No, it doesn't mean you have to stand on a street corner yelling at people. It doesn't mean you have to thump people over the head with the Bible. But when you're standing up for the life of the unborn with all the compassion you can muster, you can be a grandma. Hey, now that Nancy and our grandparents, our oldest grandchild, 13 years old, you know, maybe great grandma, we'll make it a little older because we're still young. You could be a grandma just standing in front of an abortion clinic with tears streaming down your eyes, telling young ladies how much you love them, and people will drive past you, cursing at you, mocking you, vilifying you. In fact, turning around the opposite way. One of my friends that was doing pro-life work on Long Island years ago said, it's unbelievable. You'll have a mother with a little girl in the car roll down the window and cuss you out. They'll use the foulest language. You'll have a grandma come by, roll down the window and lay into you the anger and the vitriol. And you're hitting a nerve. You're hitting a nerve. That's why there's opposition. When we say, look, we care about every individual. Our doors are open to every individual. Our church buildings, our congregational buildings, come in, whoever you are, whatever stage of life you're in, come in. We want to help you get where God wants you to be. That's our posture. But when we say marriage is the union of a man and woman, and we're going to stand for that, we believe it's important for the good of society to stand for it and for the good of the next generations to stand for it. We will be hated, mocked, vilified. And the fact of the matter is, if we withdraw from that point, if we back away from that point, friends, then we are retreating from the very places where we have hit a nerve. I've got a lot more to say about this. I've got an extraordinary quote from Martin Luther to share with you, and some personal things as well as I open my heart. We'll be right back with a whole lot more right here in the Line of Fire.
Cleansing flame, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, it is Wednesday. We're focused on the world, on moral, cultural issues today on The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, thank you for joining us. Let me share with you from my article, latest article. Go to AskDrBrown.org, click on latest article there. Let me share with you from this article, the Spirit is saying forward. While reflecting on a powerful quote from the lips of Catherine Booth, I was struck by the fact that the latest strategies of the American church, strategies to avoid conflict with the world, are not only wrongheaded, they are actually diametrically opposed to the strategies we should be following. So let me explain what I mean. Catherine Booth was the co-founder of the Salvation Army, along with her husband, William Booth. And for decades, the Salvationists were known for their fearless, uncompromising preaching of the gospel, their sacrificial living, and their compassionate care for the hurting and the poor. Catherine was the more fiery preacher of the true, and in her of the two. And in her sermon, Aggressive Christianity, she said, opposition? It's a bad sign for the Christianity of this day that it provokes so little opposition. If there were no other evidence of it being wrong, she said, I should know from that. When the church and the world can jog along together comfortably, you may be sure there is something wrong. The world has not altered. Its spirit is exactly the same as it ever was. If Christians were equally faithful and devoted to the Lord and separated from the world, living so that their lives were a reproof to all ungodliness, the world would hate them as much as it ever did. It is the church that is altered, not the world. Well, I quoted these words almost 25 years ago in my book, How Saved Are We? Not to mention many times since. But last week, when I posted them on my Facebook page, something hit me between the eyes. Well, on the one hand, Catherine Booth's words are more relevant now than when she uttered them in England in the 1800s. Since in so many ways, the Church of America and the world do jog along together comfortably today. As I wrote in 1989 in the end of the American Gospel Enterprise, like Sardis, we have become the perfect model of inoffensive Christianity, to quote the words of G.B. Caird, having a reputation of being alive yet being dead. Like Sardis, we have so come to terms with our pagan environment that we provoke almost no opposition and make virtually no impact. And like Sardis, situated high in a mountain rock, we have felt safe and secure in this world. That was written back in 1989. Just think of how much more compromised and inoffensive we have become since then. But here's the point I want to get to, friends. As I reflected on Catherine Booth's piercing words, I said to myself, yet in many other ways, the Church of America and the world are absolutely not jogging along together comfortably. We find ourselves in conflict, and there's often hostility, anger, legal persecution, and occasionally even violence directed against us. Yes, the truth be told, on some important fronts, we are experiencing real opposition from the world, and some of it is vicious and angry. Where exactly are we experiencing fierce opposition, and what are these important fronts? I can answer those questions in two words. Abortion, and homosexuality. Yet these are the very fronts from which many Christian leaders are urging us to retreat, telling us that we need to stop provoking so much controversy and that we need to quit standing up for these vital social issues if we want to win to Jesus those on the other side. Now, on the one hand, I totally agree that we must be full of compassion and grace when we stand for righteousness and that we must overcome evil with good and hatred with love. And to the extent we get in the flesh and become mean-spirited and nasty, we are already defeated, and we have brought reproach to the Lord, not to mention driven away those he died for. And I absolutely affirm that the first and greatest priority is winning the lost and making disciples. But didn't Jesus say that those who were persecuted for righteousness' sake were truly happy and blessed? And didn't he say that this is how the prophets before us were persecuted? And weren't the prophets persecuted for calling their nation to repentance and for rebuking social evils? Why should it be different with us? When Paul spoke to Felix about faith in Christ Jesus, didn't he also speak to him about righteousness and self-control and the coming judgment? And isn't this why Felix became alarmed, Acts 24? By the way, Felix was basically living in adultery with his wife based on the laws and customs of the day. But today, when it's clear that we've hit a nerve, when we stand up for the life of the unborn to the point that peaceful pro-life activists have even been attacked by police. Brian Kammerker was on from Mass Resistance to talk about that last week. Some are telling us that we need to adopt a softer, more gentle tone. Isn't this simply a matter of compromise and appeasement? And today, when it is clear that we've hit another major nerve when we oppose homosexual activism while welcoming every lost person into our churches to hear the gospel and receive God's love, we're told that if we will only drop this divisive issue, then we will see many more gays and lesbians saved and helped. Again, I do agree that we become too politicized on these issues. They're really gospel issues first and foremost, and political issues second. But in reality, unless we affirm homosexuality is God-blessed and God-given, we will still be viewed as Bible-bashing homophobes. And we will soon learn the truth of Winston Churchill's remark that an appeaser is one who feeds a crocodile, hoping it will eat him last. Pastors, leaders, parents, all concerned believers, hear me clearly, please. When and if same-sex marriage is codified as law throughout America, gay activists will not simply say, we have finally achieved our goal. To the contrary, all of us who do not affirm and endorse homosexuality and bisexuality and transgenderism will be singled out as intolerant bigots, and our freedoms of conscience, speech, and religion will be the next things to go. In fact, they are already on their way out unless we take a stand for righteousness today. So what then do we do? First, we repent of all known sin in our own lives, purging ourselves of hypocrisy with God's supernatural help. Second, we ask God for a broken heart of compassion for those who oppose the standards. Third, we ask the Lord for courage to stand, refusing to compromise or back down regardless of cost or consequence, prepared to be persecuted for righteousness' sake, and counting that persecution a true joy, always lifting up the name of Jesus in spirit and word and deed. Where are we experiencing opposition today? This is where we need to take our stand. The words of Martin Luther, by the way, there were many things he said that were ugly and wrong, and many he said were wonderful. This is one of the ones that was wonderful. If I profess with loudest voice and clearest exposition every portion of the truth of God, except precisely that little point which the world and the devil are at the moment attacking, I am not confessing Christ, however boldly I may be professing Christ. Where the battle rages, there the loyalty of the soldier is proved, and to be steady on all the battlefront besides is mere flight and disgrace if he flinches at that point. What a quote, huh? I personally hear the Spirit saying, forward. I do not hear him saying, retreat. That is my article. The Spirit is saying, forward. Read it by going to AskDrBrown.org and click on latest article. And when you do, it'll take you to the Charisma News website, the opinion column. Share it with others, Facebook, Twitter, other ways. Share it with others. I believe it's an important word we need to hear. Yes, I'm at a loss for words. I'm speechless. Talk radio host, temporarily speechless. When I see so many leaders retreating, and I understand you're not happy with your church getting bad-mouthed in the community. You're not happy with your name getting blasted online. You feel it's going to create all kinds of controversy and people are going to brand you as just, you know, right-wing, hateful, bigoted, intolerant people, and that's not who you really are. I understand it can be hard sometimes. I understand maybe you're feeding the poor and helping underprivileged children, and you got a big budget to do it, and your number one supporter's told you stay away from these issues. And you think if you bring them up, okay, now you've done the right thing, but you've lost the support. And what do you tell the children that you were feeding and the underprivileged that you were helping? I understand these issues can be complicated. But here's the deal. On the day we stand before God, he's simply going to ask us if we obeyed him and did what he called us to do. If he's calling us to take a stand and we lose everything, so be it. If he's calling us to take a stand and the whole world hates us, so be it. If he's calling us to take a stand, let's do it with broken hearts. Let's do it with love, compassion, sensitivity. Let's do it always looking to reach those who oppose us, but let us stand boldly. Didn't Billy Graham say that courage was contagious, and when one person's spine is stiffened, it often stiffens the spines, the backbones of many others? That must be us, backbones of steel, hearts that are broken. That's the formula for reaching and changing this world. We come back, just some personal reflections. I want to share my heart with you openly, honestly, and I trust that you'll be blessed and stirred. And he said again, the prophets were not persecuted for telling the people of Israel God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. We will be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks again for joining us. Welcome back to The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, please be in prayer for me. As you're listening to this, I should be in transit overseas for one day, just one day overseas for what could be some of the most important ministry I've ever done. I hope to post things on social media, Facebook, Twitter, tomorrow, Thursday, and then give you a report, at least a partial report on Friday and a full report on Monday. So thank you for praying. Well, if you listened to the broadcast Monday, especially the beginning of the first hour, I lost it. I lost it a couple times on the show. Just fought back the tears unsuccessfully, tried to keep talking, was unable. Just with my heart broken over the death of Steve Hill, a dear friend, colleague, so many hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of amazing memories we had together as friends before the Brownsville Revival, but the real memories began serving in the Brownsville Revival together side by side for the better part of 4 years and then traveling to other parts of the country together with Pastor John Kilpatrick and worship leader Lendell Cooley and others on the team and others on the leadership team of what is now Fire School of Ministry that was birthed in the midst of the Pensacola Revival, initially as Brown's Revival School of Ministry, our team, the memories we had together. But with Steve traveling to different parts of the world after Brownsville, preaching side by side, standing together in America, sharing our hearts over the phone. He's been in a hellish battle with cancer for years, and finally his body gave out. It looked like he was going to be with the Lord a few years back. He was miraculously raised up, but finally the battle ended. He's with the Lord enjoying the presence of God, and I'm sure there are no tears of sorrow there as we mourn, and his wife and kids feel the loss more acutely than any of us. But I lost it a few times during the show, and then Tuesday's show yesterday, we focused on other subjects, had some terrific guests on, David Brog and Stephen Curry, and then Landon Schott. And we just had a great time together on the radio, and I was fine. And then went out to dinner with Landon, who was in town, wanting to get to spend some time with me, young man with RevTV.com. And he had dinner with Nancy and me, and then I took him to my night class. And I teach Tuesday nights at our School of Ministry. Those that live in the greater Charlotte area can take advantage of that. The classes are open for public to register. So it was the Tuesday night class, and I don't know, 30-something students, however many, were there for the class. And anyway, I just said, please pray. I didn't go into details. I said, please pray. This was last night, Tuesday night. I'm going to be flying out of the country tomorrow. I'm going to be giving a presentation. I didn't tell him what country it was. I just told him it's going to be very, very important. I said, then I'll be flying back, taking the red eye, flying back, God willing, through the night, Thursday night. But instead of coming back to North Carolina, I will go to Pensacola, Florida for the memorial service for Steve Hill on Friday night, the funeral Saturday morning. Well, that's what I intended to say, but I didn't get that far. I didn't get that far. I lost it. I just broke down. I couldn't talk. And they didn't know what I was about to say. I couldn't even explain the Pensacola part. I just broke. I finally got out a little. I cried some more. Got a little more. Cried some more. Talked some more. Broke down and cried some more. I'm absolutely not ashamed of it. This was a dear friend, and the finest evangelist I've worked with in my life, and a passionate soul winner, and a preacher of repentance, and a genuine guy that would give you the shirt off his back if he could help you. It's a loss. It's a painful loss. And I don't know another voice like him. Oh, there are plenty of other fine preachers and teachers, and they're fine evangelists, but there was something very unique he carried and touched literally millions of lives. And I said to the students something that I said on the air on Monday. This does not light a fire in me to want to burn brighter, because I, by God's grace, that's what's in my heart. That was in my heart before Steve died. That's in my heart now that he's with the Lord. I want to burn bright. I want to make a difference. I want my life to count. I love Jesus, and I want the world to know him. And whatever the cost or the consequence of being associated with him, so be it. So I'm not looking at this like now I'm really going to go for it. I want to live for God. I'm looking at it from many different angles and praying about it and thinking about it from different angles. But I want to say to everyone, some of you are burning like this. And some of you, your fire would ignite me if I was around you. And some of your devotion to the Lord would put me to shame. But I just want you to know, by God's grace, I'm running my race. I'm really serious about this. But some of you are not. Some of you you were really ablaze for God once. You were really an ambassador for Jesus once. You were really a man of faith or a woman of faith once. You were really unashamed of the gospel once. You were really a prayer warrior once, or someone that fearlessly proclaimed the gospel in hostile, whatever it is. You used to give away tons of money for the work of the gospel. You used to stand for righteousness at any cost. Whatever it is, whether discouragement hit, disappointment hit, something went wrong, you opened the door to sin, whatever it is that caused you to leave your first love, maybe you were one of those who was saved through Steve's ministry or came back to the Lord through his ministry or ignited through his ministry. What I'm saying to you now is what I said to the students last night. Make your life count. Make your life count. Live today in such a way that you'll have no regrets tomorrow. And remember, many of our promises of obedience today, our promises of obedience for tomorrow are excuses for our disobedience today. You know how many times maybe you're overweight, need to lose some weight? You know when you think of it, I'm gonna start eating better tomorrow. When you're eating something you shouldn't eat, oh, I'm really going to go after God in prayer tomorrow. Why? Because I don't want to do it today. Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. And that means there is a future. That means there is a hope. That means it's not too late. That means if you soften your heart, God will meet you and say, I don't know the way back. Take one step. One step in the right direction. Draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. And my goal now is that as we have lost Steve, an extraordinary servant of the Lord, this death will be like a seed planted in the ground, and that it will bring forth many, many seeds. And perhaps this broadcast, as my heart is all the more tender, perhaps something was touched in your heart, and this will be a turning point for your life. If God has touched you, shoot us a note. Let us know how we can pray for you at info@askdrbrown.org. And perhaps some of you, this is your day to take the plunge. Become a torchbearer. I'm going to send you my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America. Stand with us $1 a day, $30 a month. My thank you gift, A Queer Thing Happened to America, plus a new message every month, 15% discount in our online bookstore, and free access to our online classes. That's what we do for our torchbearers. Call right now, would you? 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978, or go to my website, askdrbrown.org, and click on donate. My bottom line today, tomorrow will never, ever come. Today is the day to live for God. If you hear his voice, do not harden your heart.